We'll be looking at Genesis, Exodus, and then we're going to get to Psalms. All right, Genesis, Exodus, and then look at Psalms. Genesis 1 is just, you'll see why we're going to look at that one in just a moment. I won't spend a long time there, and then we'll look at the Exodus, and then we'll kind of park in the book of Psalms and look at a number of those. We're going to be looking at the idea of what the Bible has to say about fear. And you may be like little Johnny, little kid. He was, he had problems, he had fear issues. And he was 5 years old, and he was in the kitchen with his mom, and she was preparing supper. And she asked him to go into the pantry and get a can of tomato soup. But she didn't, but he didn't want to go alone. And so he looked at mom and said, "Well, it's dark in there. I ain't going in there. It's really dark in there." And she said, "You know what? You need to go in there and get the can of tomato soup." And finally she said, "Well, it's okay. Jesus will be there with you." And so Johnny walked hesitantly to the door, opened it up a crack. He peeked inside and he started to leave. And then an idea came to him. And this is what he said. He said, "Jesus, if you're in there, hand me the can of tomato soup." All right. All right, you may have experienced fear, all right, in your life. So we're going to look at the idea of fear. The word fear, some form of the word fear, is used in the Bible over 380 times. So fear is a topic that is covered in the Bible, and we can understand it. For instance, our verse is one of those that we said together in Proverbs, I believe it was Proverbs chapter 29, whereas the fear of man brings a snare. All right, but it's right in that verse, it tells us the opposite. A lot of times, the book of Proverbs is that way. It'll tell you, it's called parallelism in the Hebrew poetry. And parallelism is a little bit different than what we think of as poetry in America. But parallelism in the book of Proverbs was that, it would give you the opposite right in the same verse. So here on one side of the verse, it's saying, there is fear. But right in the verse, it gives us the parallel, and that is he that trusts in the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to look at the idea of fear and dwell on it just a little bit, because what I want to do is look at then, what does the Bible have to say? Because fear will keep you from making a right decision about eternity. It really will. Fear will keep you from doing that. And there is a right fear. The Bible talks about a right type of fear, and that is the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says the right type of fear, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. So the beginning of the right type of fear is started with an understanding of Christ, the Lord. And so we're going to look at Genesis chapter 9 first. And this is the first time that the word fear is used in the Bible. Those of you that know different types of studies, there is one called the law of first mention. And this first mention is about man and fear. It's actually talking about the universe. It kind of goes against those, and I'm not really out as far as here to get into political things as far as in this verse, but you'll see that a Bible understanding helps us know about even earthly things. So look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, God blessed Noah. So this is after the flood, which I believe actually happened, just so you know. And God blessed Noah and his son and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And notice, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. So, sorry if you think this, right, but biblically, this is one of the things that the Bible is able to correct us on. Okay? My dog is not on the same level as me. Now, you may think so. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm telling you. All right, I've already started hearing you, and I'm thinking your dog is smarter. All right. Well, the Bible is indicating to us that man was created at a higher level than animals. All right, that's what it's saying right here. and animals will fear you. It's not saying that we should mistreat him. It's just saying that, and this is what's wrong, when you take the Bible out of society, then things get messed up. Why? Because the Bible is my sole authority for faith, and some people have stopped at that. It's not just a sole authority for faith, but it's a sole authority for faith and practice. And so I must do that which the Bible tells me to do. And so that's the idea of the law of first mention. So we're going to jump from there. So let's go to Exodus. So in Exodus chapter 14, this is the passage that basically in the Bible, it's the first time that the idea of our relationship with God and fear are connected. And it's interesting because there's another word that is introduced in this passage that relates, again, with the solving of our fear. Notice in Exodus chapter 14, this is talking about the children of Israel. They're in bondage in Egypt, and God wants to deliver them. And so they've been delivered because God sent 10 plagues against the children of the Egyptians, and the children of Israel were then released, brought to the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, notice what happens in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, that the Egyptians marched after them. Notice, here's the idea. They were sore afraid. Here's fear. This is one of the first times that you see it in action in the Bible, and God takes action in regards to man's fear. So here are the Egyptians. Most of us, I think, know the story of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians had put them in bondage under hard labor. For those of us now in this day and age, as we look back at history, the Egypt in the Bible represents the sinful life, the life of bondage. And so it's a good picture for us, because guess what Satan does? He uses that hard labor and bondage of sin, and then I am sore afraid of the devil. I'm afraid of what he's going to do. I'm afraid of him. Right, and so that's where the children of Israel are. They got released. They're running away from these guys, and they come up. They've been released, and they come up to the Red Sea. Here is Pharaoh charging behind with all of the armies, and they're sore afraid. And the children of Israel, they at least did something smart. They cried unto the Lord in verse 10 and verse 11. They said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt. This is so typical of man, isn't it? We start crabbing. All right, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Whoever we can lash out at, and that's one of the symptoms of fear. Believe it or not, you start lashing out at people. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? So just so you know, when they're saying that, the Egyptians killed their children, put them in hard labor. They had early deaths because of the hard labor under the Egyptians. And they're telling, now they're being released, and there's fear that comes on. And notice what they start doing, crabbing against the man of God, crabbing against God who delivered them, and then they're turning and saying, see, it was better back then. That is really stupid. And I think most of us understand that. I mean, come on. They were taking your kids, killing them. They're doing all kinds of ridiculous things to you. Oh, and that's a better life. No, it's not. But that's what fear can do. Fear can make you do silly things. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Actually, I'd rather die in the wilderness. Verse 13. Here is the idea of now God steps in, and it's one of the first times in the Old Testament that God steps in and helps us to understand how he can help us when we have fear. Notice in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He ties it together with a word, salvation. fearing not and salvation. This morning, that's what we kind of want to look at. We want to look at this idea of what the Bible has to say about fear. Because fear, that's one of the devil's tool to keep you kind of stymied in that bondage. And he almost makes you, right, as you're trying to, this morning at the end, we'll talk about how we can be released from fear. And part of it is turning to God in faith. And faith is a lot different because faith, according to the Word of God, is something you can't see all the time. And the devil makes us right here. We always have to see right here. And so because he's got you right here and he says, oh, come on. I mean, have you ever seen God? And he puts all of these thoughts in your mind and you become overwhelmed with fear. And then you start saying, well, fine. You know what? I don't want church anymore. I want the Bible. Forget it. I'd rather go back and just live that life. You ever heard anybody say that? Yeah. Guess what? The devil is able to captivate people with fear. And then he brings them back into bondage when, here is Moses. Moses is a picture in some sense of a Christ that can, he's a deliverer. He's a sent one. Moses actually in the book of Hebrews is compared. There's Moses and Christ. And Christ is better than Moses, but Moses was a sent one from God to deliver his people. And guess what he tells them? Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And guess what happened? They were delivered. They were delivered. And this morning, my prayer is that God would deliver you from the fear of the devil, the fear of man, the fear of hell and damnation. Deliver you from that, and it comes by the opposite. Faith. Faith in a loving, compassionate, almighty God. And this morning, my prayer is that you would be able to see the salvation of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this morning. Give us wisdom, guidance. Help us as we look at Scripture this morning that you would lead and guide. Help us to be clear in defining this idea of fear, and the opposite is faith. And Lord, I pray that would lead folks to see that faith in God can overcome fear. I pray that you would help this morning, as always, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may say, well, I mean, what's the big deal about fear and overcoming fear? I think that some of us don't realize how much fear is in our life. How much fear is there. It keeps us, it restricts us from doing that which we know to do. Why? Because the opposite of fear is faith. And faith, always, biblical faith, is always tied to the Word of God. How do I know that? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Also, you can find in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 1, it explains faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the opposite of fear, but the difference with faith is that it's relying on something that you always cannot see. Now, I can bank on this. I can bank on God, but it takes my faith in this book. And this book normally reacts contrary to the devil, and it reacts contrary to the world, and it reacts contrary to your flesh. And so because of that, stepping out in faith means that I'm leaving that old life behind. And that can make us fearful. It really can. So I want to look at a couple of things this morning as we think of this idea of fear. So bear with me, and we'll try not to be long, but I'd like us to understand a little bit about fear. So let's turn to Psalm 27. We're going to look at four different psalms. All right, King David is a great person for us to consider about fear. And how did he overcome fear? How did he get out of it? Because King David was anointed as king of Israel, and then something really bad happened. He was chased out by the guy that was before him, King Saul. He was chased out, and he lived until King Saul died. He lived running, living in caves, living, working for the enemy. That was King David. You can look it up in the Bible and you can look it up in history. King David, he lived in caves and he built kind of his own army. Eventually he had about 600 mighty men that fought with him. But over and over he was being chased and King Saul wanted him dead. Wanted him dead. So guess what? Fear? David knew about it. David had it overtake him. And so how did he overcome fear? So this morning I want to look at this idea. So Psalm 27, and I first of all want to look at some symptoms of fear. And this may have happened in your life. And Psalm 27, notice what David says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should come encompass me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me. And this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Notice a little later, go down to verse 9. Go down to verse 9. Notice what it says. Verse 8, "When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help." Now notice, so it's opposite. He's saying, he's praying for something that overcame him, that took him over, and that is, this is a symptom of fear. Notice in verse 9, "Hide not thy face. Put not thy servant away in anger." You know what happens when you let fear take over? Intense paranoia. Alright? Everybody's out to get me. Alright? Everybody's out to intense paranoia. Also in verse, "Hide not thy face, put not thy servant away. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." What does it sound like? Dark depression and loneliness. Fear will leave you in dark depression, loneliness, intense paranoia. We see this also later. Look at verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed." So physical weakness is a symptom of an overwhelming fear. And so dark depression, loneliness, intense paranoia, physical weakness. Psalm 34 is another psalm that talks about fear. Look at Psalm 34. Look at verse 4. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from" what? "All my fears." So in this passage, look at verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, his saints. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger." That's verse 10. "But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." When I have fear take over me, guess what happens? Dark depression, loneliness, intense paranoia. I also have physical weakness. But opposite of this, this is why David is saying this. He had fear, and guess what he started doing? He started saying that God's not taking care of me. Once you get fear taken care of, you start saying, you know what? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, they don't need anything. But when you let fear take over in your life, you start saying, you know what? God's not taking care of me. What am I getting out of life? That is a symptom of fear. Look at verse 13. "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." Again, it's opposite. He has found the solution, but the opposite of true. When you are filled with fear, just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, what did they do? They started mouthing off. They started crabbing against Moses, crabbing against God. And guess what happens? When you're overwhelmed with fear, you think you have a license, a freedom to sin. You think that you have the right. You know what? This is what I can say this. No. That's a feeling of freedom to sin. Psalm 46 is another passage that we see about a symptom. And this is actually Psalm 46. Most believe that this was Martin Luther's inspiration for his song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And you think of Martin Luther. Martin Luther probably had fear overwhelming him because the Catholics wanted to kill him. If you know his story, they wanted to kill him. Why? He was coming against the authority saying, no, the just shall live by faith. And they said, we're going to kill you. So guess what? He probably had some fear coming in, and maybe he was reading Psalm 46, and notice what it says in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Here the psalmist, again, he was overcoming fear, so the opposite is true, and so it's another symptom. It's a distrust in the person of God. Fear will take over you when you start saying, you know what? God doesn't care. God doesn't care about me. Where's he at? Oh, he's here. So that is some of the symptoms, and we're not going to, again, we're just kind of breezing through it, because what I want to do is deal with the solutions to fear. Notice in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice another passage that deals with this is Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Notice what it says in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, that's that fear, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. What is it telling us here? It's giving us solutions in all these. In Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And as we start out looking at the solution to fear, there are false theories of peace that are out there. You know, one false theory is charms. Oh, hey, and religions do this. Hey, if you buy this and put it on your dash, it'll help you. I don't know. It might actually block your vision. All right? You'll be looking and all of a sudden this big bobblehead will be up there, all right? Whatever saint it is, and with this bobblehead there, and it's like, yeah, well, is that a car? I can't tell. Or it might be that you come to some religion and they say, hey, for this price, You can wear this around your neck. It's the same thing. All right, just think. All right, it could be that, and I know I'm being facetious, so you're going to have to bear with me, okay? But it could be that some mugger grabs you and you're wearing it, and he's like, ah! All right, you just gave him the weapon. All right, you just opened it up. No, I'm just kidding. All right, but I'm just saying, all right, that little trinket, you know what they did? They just conned you to give him some money. That's all they did. That money's sitting in his pocket, and he's heading down to some island or something like that because he just got, hey, if you wear this, it'll help you. I'm like, no, wear it yourself. You know what I mean? I'm going to trust in the Lord. Charms aren't the thing that are going to help you to overcome your fear. Chance. That's becoming popular today in America. we've kind of delved into Middle Eastern, or not Middle Eastern, but Far Eastern medicines and different things like that. And people are like, oh, hey, you got to meditate and overcome. Just empty yourself. Well, actually, again, biblically, I've tried to teach our church this. You always go to the Bible to get instruction. Do you know what biblical meditation is? Biblical meditation is opposite of the world, again. It's just like the world has their idea of salvation, and you go to the Bible, and it's like, nah, that's not how you do it. It's the same way with meditation. And the world's idea of meditation, you sit there and you empty your mind. That is nowhere found in the Bible. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God's Word. That's what biblical meditation is. And I think it's actually really good to do biblical meditation. The Bible says I should meditate in it day and night. So it is instructed to me to do biblical meditation, but not empty my mind. If I empty my mind, who's filling it? Yeah, maybe that's why you're fearful. Because you empty your mind and something is going to come in. And if I am opening myself up and taking the world's idea, who is the prince of the power of this world? The devil. Guess what I've opened myself up for? The devil. I don't want anything to do with him. He only brings fear. He only brings despondency. He only brings depression. There is nothing good in the Bible about the devil and Satan and anything with him. I don't want anything to do with him. And so, I don't want the world's false theories, because what they say is charms, chants, self-help. That's big. You know what? Believe. Believe in what? Well, believe. Believe in what? And so, I mean, people have it. Just so you know, just even if you do like a sticky thing on your wall, just putting a sticky thing on your wall doesn't, that's not going to help your house. It looks nice, but that, and like every time I walk in, I touch it. What you're doing is putting dirt on the wall. That's what you're doing. You need to clean it. That's not that, you know, sometimes we're silly with these things because we're like, hey, so you, I have this word and I just have to believe, you know, what's in your heart. Find what's in your heart. You know what's in your heart? The Bible says your heart is desperately wicked, and then it asks a question. Who can know it? You know who can know your heart? God can. He can know your heart. So don't follow the world's idea of taking care of fear, because they say charms and chants and self-help. Oh, here's the other one. You need therapy. Oh, yeah. You know, I was dealing with something a couple of months ago. And I was dealing with something pretty rough, and they had to get a licensed therapist to deal with something. And I was like, oh, so how much is that going to cost? They're like, oh, well, normally they charge about $300 an hour. I was like, what? I said, I'm in the wrong business. And they said, yeah, and in order to do this fully, it'll probably take about 6 to 8 hours. I said, did you just hear what you said? For 6 to 8 hours, that's one day. They just made more than most of us make in a month or a week. I mean, come on. I said, I'm in the wrong business. Get me licensed. Like, hey, sit down here. Sit down here and, you know, you give me enough money and I'll tell you. And, you know, study it. I have. I help our students in our college. We train people for full-time service. And I don't buy into most of the psychology or psychiatry. You know why? You know who most of them follow? I've studied it. Look up they call them the five authors of psychology. Have you ever read anything about Freud? I'm telling you, that guy needed locked up a long time ago. All right, and he's dead now, but that guy was, he was, and they're like, oh, you know what? You know what? There's some good. There was nothing good there. The guy was mentally unstable. He needed therapy. All right? He needed therapy. And this is what, so sometimes we get into this self-help. We get into chance, we get into charms, we get into psychology or psychiatry, and then some, you know what they do? They turn to religion. I'm not talking about Christianity. Religion. Hey, I gotta get religion. And so, and there's this idea, and look up definitions of words are important. So they say, I'm gonna get reformed. You know, in the Bible, I don't want to be reformed. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that the Word of God, Christ, can transform you. You know what transform means? Transform is that caterpillar. It's the same idea in the Greek. It's a caterpillar that goes in, makes a cocoon, and he goes in as a caterpillar, and he comes out as what? A worm? Snake? Like, oh, what is up? No, what does he come out? This beautiful butterfly. He is transformed from something that, I mean, how in the world does a caterpillar go and make a cocoon and all of a sudden it's amazing. It's transformed. It's changed completely. That's what Christianity does. That's what Christ does. Religion reforms you. Christianity transforms you. It changes your whole being. So let me give you an example of this found in the book of John. All right, and we'll close with this idea. All right, so we talked about fear. And what does the Bible have to say about fear? Well, fear in Psalm 27, you see Psalm 34, Psalm 46, Psalm 61. Fear can take over you and shut you down. And King David was able to go to God, and he found that in the person of God, in the understanding of the compassion of God, he could be transformed. So is there an example in the New Testament? There is. There's two people. One is the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, looking in John chapter 19. Or John chapter 20, sorry. First in John chapter 18. John 18, so one chapter earlier. We see the beginning of Peter's kind of demise. So notice what happened in verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And the disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto people, Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? And he says, I'm not. So what's taking over the Apostle Peter's life? Fear. Guess what they just did? They just took the Christ that he followed, and they're leading away, and they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Peter's been associated with them, and so fear takes over. Look at verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, said, I am not. In other passages, we read that he cursed. And he said, no way. What is taking over Peter? Fear. Look at John chapter 20 now. John 20, we see another lady that is taken over with fear, and that's Mary Magdalene. So you see the Apostle Peter. You see Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene is coming up to the tomb after the resurrection. She runneth. Look at verse 2. She runneth, cometh to Simon Peter, and says, they've taken away the Lord. Verse 3, so Peter therefore went forth. They came to the sepulcher. They ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulcher. He stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. All right, and then you see in verse 11 that Mary stands outside weeping. What is this? This sorrow. Here is the person that they sunk their whole life into. And he's gone. That's that fear and despondency, anxiety that's taking over. Look at chapter 21. We see now the disciple, the apostle Peter again. Look at chapter 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself. And then in verse 2, there was together Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael. And look at verse 3. Simon Peter then says, I go a fishing. And they also say, well, I'm going with you. What is Peter doing? Fear, when it takes over and you let it build, it makes you just say, forget it. That's what it did here. So what changed them? What changed them? You know what changed them? The resurrection of Christ. And the faith and belief. Now, in this passage earlier, you'll see that Thomas didn't believe at all. And they were fearful. They were all hiding in a room. They don't even want to come out of the room. And Thomas is in there and the disciples come in and say, hey, Jesus is risen. And Thomas says, you know what? Unless I see him and I put my hands in his nail scarred print and I can touch the scars and I can put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And right then Jesus walks in and he says, go ahead, Thomas. And Jesus said this, blessed are those that believe basically without seeing. You know what that's called? Faith. And this is what my challenge to you this morning is. Fear keeps you glued to your seat. Fear keeps you encapsulated or basically in bondage to the devil. That's what fear does. You saw some of the symptoms. It's just, it's loneliness, it's depression, it's nobody cares for me, I'm all by myself. And that's fear. And fear, the devil is a master at fear, and he has this world gripped in it. And Jesus Christ, through the resurrection power, no longer does Satan have the power of death. That's found in Revelation chapter 1. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that Jesus Christ broke he that had the power of death. That is the devil. And so Satan no longer can hold that over me. Why? When I have faith in Jesus Christ, when I trust in that resurrection and say, guess what, devil? You have played the fear game so long with me. You have told me that I am in bondage. There's no hope for you. And we live in no hope in this society. We live in fear. Fear of the future. Fear of what's going to happen. Fear of man. Fear of our neighbors. We live in fear everywhere. And Jesus Christ, through his resurrection, broke that. And that's why even in the face of death, fear no longer is there. You know how I know that? I was there yesterday at death's door with one of our members. And you know what was there? Peace. How is that possible? Paul said it. Oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? And that whole passage says the reason that we can face fear is the faith in a resurrected Lord. Because Christ is risen. The Bible says he's risen indeed. He came up out of the grave. He came out of that tomb. He put the devil to flight and he defeated him. He's a defeated foe. So I no longer have to fear. And when eternity is there weighing on you and you say, well, what am I going to do? What about the future? How do I know these things? The opposite of fear is faith. Trust in the Lord and ye shall be safe. You trust in a risen Lord. What did that risen Lord do? He came down and he died for our sins. He died on Calvary. He faced fear. I believe that. I believe even at Gethsemane, I believe on his knees he faced fear. How do I believe that? Well, because he said, if this cup will pass, if possible. He had never, ever, I believe some of that cup was sin. He had never, ever tasted sin or felt sin. Jesus never did. But in order for him to die for our sins, he had to take sin upon him. You know what? If I was perfect and sinless and holy and had never, ever been around sin, I might be fearful of what sin would feel like. And yet Christ faced fear. He faced it. And he defeated it. And he's living today in heaven, saying for you that are gripped in fear about the future, gripped in fear with this earth, gripped in all this fear, because that's what this world is. Every time you pick up a paper, you know what? I just heard it this week. Our world isn't going to last past 2029. I didn't know that. I was like, and so you need to vote for me. How is that? You know what? It doesn't matter. I'm dead in 9 years anyways. All right, if I'm dead in 9 years, I'm eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because in 10 years, I'm dead. And so are you. Why vote for you? Give me your money. All right? I mean, it's ridiculous. But what is it? It's a tool always of the... It's fear, 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 fear. And our world is just hovers in fear. And guess what Christ does? He beats it up. I don't have to fear tomorrow. I don't have to fear at death's door. I don't have to fear about, oh, what does man think? It brings a snare. All of those are the fear that the devil has, and he brings them upon us. And guess who can beat that fear? Christ. And when did he do it? He beat that through the resurrection. And you can experience that release of fear by coming to a Christ who already defeated all that. Because 1 John is an interesting passage. And 1 John, I believe it's chapter 4, it says this: perfect love casteth out fear. Like, wait a minute. All right, so now all of a sudden, God threw another mix into it. I thought that it's faith. Yes. But guess what perfect love is? It's answered in the passage. God is love. So guess who can cast out fear? God. But you got to come to him. You got to come to him. You got to trust in him. You got to accept his payment for sin. And this morning, that's what I'm asking you to do. Hey, has fear gripped you, taken you a hold of you? I mean, you're anxious about everything. You're anxious about tomorrow. You're anxious about your possessions. You're anxious about all these different things, and the fear has gripped you. Turn it over to God. In Christ, you can have freedom from fear. You know how? Because in the resurrection, we find a couple of people, Peter, we find Mary Magdalene, and later on, you know what you read about the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2? He's up there boldly proclaiming the gospel. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says this: They were taken prisoners. They brought them before some of the magistrates, before the authorities, and they spoke. And it says this: they had boldness, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. You know what will change your life this morning? Coming to Jesus. That'll change you. Like I said yesterday, sitting at a hospital overlooking, and you know what? It's hard. It's not easy. And tears come to your eyes, and memories come. And you think about different things. but there's no fear of death. Why? Because guess what? With Christ, she's in heaven. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's the victory? All right? And then it says, it answers the questions, thanks be unto Christ. Christ! He's the answer! And that's where sitting wherever it may be, why can as a Christian it be different? Why is there no fear? Remember that was a famous thing a few years ago? No fear. You know what? You can wear the t-shirt all you want, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter. There's going to be some guy bigger than you, and you better fear him. All right? Fear him. No fear. Just because I put a slogan on, but a slogan is just a slogan. You know, something on the wall is just on the wall, but in Christ, I can have victory. We sang the song, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. And that is even your fear. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.